That's Bert Kempfert in the orchestra and Opus 1. Music on the evening show with a big band sound to it. And we're heading on up toward the jazz scene time at 9 o'clock with Mac Moore, and he's going to be bringing us our part number 6 of his History of Jazz, and this deals with the bebop revolution, 1942 to 1947. I can practically name everything I was doing between those 2 years, which was just running around being a little Bobby Soxer. One time, the only time I ever did hooky school, we were seniors and lived over across the river from Philly. And in those days, it was the time when Sinatra and all the other big bands and the singers were at the movie theaters. The Earl Theater in Philadelphia had a stage show between movies. We didn't go to the movies. We went to see the stage shows. Or else in Camden, New Jersey, they also... Oh, the Stanley Theater, wasn't it? In Camden. Well, anyhow, one day, a whole gang of us, the Mighty Clique, we called ourselves in high school, a big bunch of girls, decided to cut school, and we went over to Philadelphia to see Frankie. And we sat there and screamed and hollered with all the rest of the little girls. And in the middle of it all, I began to itch, kind of funny. And when I got home from school, I had the measles. I had broken out with the measles while I was over there hookying school to begin with. Well, I never did quite get that explained out, why I didn't go to the school nurse. You know, I just never did quite make that a clear thing. And I always got the raised eyebrow from my mother. My mother was a school teacher, and of course she wasn't home at the time when I would have been sent home had I been in school and had gone to the school nurse. So all in all, I'll never forget Frankie, the measles, and getting fouled up in my own hookying. And having a mother for a school teacher was pretty tough. She really came down on me pretty hard about a lot of things. So those were quite memorable years. Good times had by all, but that was the one and only time I ever did do anything about not going to class that day and hookying school. We really had a lot of nerve to go marching all the way over to Philly and not think we were going to get caught. Of course, I was the fall guy on the whole thing, and they teased me forever. Well, the saga of back in the good old days. It's 13 minutes after 8 here on the evening show on WJMA, and in our weather we have a very nice evening going on outside. It's weather all over the place, and it's nice. Partly cloudy through Saturday are the conditions the weatherman's calling for our particular area. The lows tonight and Friday night around 50 degrees, with the highs Friday around 70, and on Saturday we should be into the 60s. There's just a 10% chance of rain tonight and 20% Friday, and down to a 10% chance again tomorrow night. Easterly winds coming in real easy, and it's 71 degrees Fahrenheit, 21.6 Celsius. The relative humidity is a pretty comfortable 45%. And here's Ella Fitzgerald. Ella in Hamburg did this album, and she's going to do an Ellington medley. Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me, Mood Indigo, and It Don't Mean a Thing If You Ain't Got That You Know What.
Right about now, we thought we'd do one of the top tunes for you. That was it. I enjoy doing it. I don't see anything wrong with it. I'd like to have had just one hit, one fourth of that. Right now, we'd like to change and sing something pretty from the Duke Ellington songbook. And we hope you like them. I gotta cool off from the hard day's night. Did you like that? I did that for you.
Someone told someone and someone told you, but they wouldn't hurt you, not much. Since everyone tells a story with his own little personal touch. Do nothing till you hear from me. Pay no attention to what's said. Why people tear the seams of anyone's dream is over. my head. Do nothing till you hear from me. Take the words of others you've heard. I haven't a chance. True, I've been seen with someone new, but does that mean that I? Cloud my memory, and other arms may hold the thrill, but please do nothing till you hear it from me, and you.
That's Ella and her big one, Hamburg, and a live concert, an Ellington medley. Really a great, great singer at all times. And we're heading along the way toward 21 minutes after 8 o'clock right now.
Virginia, we'd like to say we're with you all the way, 'cause we believe in you. We're proud to be called First Virginia Bank.
Spring's here. What do you need? Maybe a new car or tractor, seed or fertilizer, a new roof for your home. Maybe you're redecorating. Whatever your need is, whether for your farm or home or business, we're ready to give you the best deal around on financing. Here at First Virginia Bank of Orange, we like to do business with you. We're even open Saturdays till noon. Member FDIC.
Virginia, we'd like to say we're with you all the way, 'cause we believe in you. We're proud to be called First Virginia Bank.
Say, tomorrow and Saturday there's going to be a rummage sale. The Ladies Auxiliary of the Gordonsville Church of God will have it, and it's going to be from 9 to 5 on tomorrow across from Frank's Barbershop in Gordonsville, and on Saturday from 9 to 2 on the Virginia National Bank parking lot, also in Gordonsville. So get yourself over for a great time at a rummage sale. I know lots of folks get so many great things at those things that they never miss them. So why don't you start the habit and get a good one going tomorrow with the Ladies Auxiliary of the Gordonsville Church of God. Okay? Now, here's music by Les Elgart, whoever he is, and his orchestra, Les Elgart, and it's that old feeling album of his, and this is Heartaches.
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to see
the world sing to play, play for you. world to sing in perfect harmony. And I'd like to hold it in my arms
and keep it company.
That's the song
I'd like to see the world.
Let the world sing all standing hand in hand in hand. And hear them echo through the hills
for peace throughout the land.
That's the song I'd
like to sing it along.
The Seekers, little outfit doing I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. And we're going to have a look at the local news, state news, and some sports in just a little less than 3 minutes. He's Charlie Bird. Here's That Rainy Day is the name of that piece, and here it is, 8:30, on a nice day that we've had in Orange today. It's 71 degrees right now in Orange at this time, and it's time to have a look at local and state news. You're tuned to WJMA, AM and FM in Orange, and here's what's new. A second candidate is now running for the Gordon District seat on the Orange County Board of Supervisors. 43-year-old R.J. Schwartz of Rhodesville declared his candidacy today for the seat currently held by R. Monroe Wall. Bob Schwartz explained why he wants the job.
I think planning and a comprehensive plan will certainly become one of the major issues in this year's elections. I feel what Orange County has to have is an equation or a balance between opening the development gates both for housing and industry and the building of the proverbial fence around the county. With added flexibility, more youthful thinking, and better communication with the citizens, I feel I can be this catalyst for the betterment of all the citizens in Gordon District and Orange County.
Bob Schwartz ran against Monroe Wall and lost in the 1971 election. Schwartz has lived in Orange County for 12 years and operates a cattle feed lot near Rhodesville. He is chairman of the Orange County ASCS Committee and president of the Locust Grove Ruritan Club. Schwartz is running as an independent and joins Gilbert Rivenberg of Locust Grove in the race for the Gordon District seat. Madison County Supervisor Alvin Lohr says he's running for a second term on the board in this year's general election. Lohr operates a dairy farm in the Rochelle area of Madison County and is one of three supervisors on the Madison board. The county does not elect supervisors from individual districts, but at large. Lohr states that the board must hold down excessive taxes and keep services within reason for what the economy of Madison County can afford. Lohr is the second announced candidate for the Madison Board of Supervisors. Chairman Willie Carpenter announced last month. The Greene County School Board spent 2 hours in closed session last night discussing a discipline case involving a student at William Monroe High School. The board did not reach a decision, however, in the case of 13-year-old Paula Kirtley. The girl and her parents are fighting her impending suspension from the school under its new demerit form of discipline. Accumulation of 10 demerits under the four-month-old system is supposed to result in automatic suspension of the student. Mr. and Mrs. Paul Kirtley said they don't oppose the demerit system, only the automatic suspension rule. Their daughter accumulated 10 demerits for minor offenses, and they feel suspension is too harsh a punishment. They also say they are worried about the effect of suspension on Paula's scholastic record. Paul Kirtley says that he will take the issue to court if his daughter is suspended. This is WJMA Radio News.
Russ Roberts here. We have a program on WJMA Sunday night at 8 o'clock called Airline. We talk to you and a whole bunch of other people about anything in the whole wide world. Give us a call this Sunday at 8 on Airline, right here.
WJMA News Time is 7:33. Correction, 8:33. If you're going someplace, you're almost an hour late. Continuing in state news, the Internal Revenue Service said today that some 343,000 Virginians should have received income tax rebates totaling $41.5 million by sometime next week. The IRS said its Birmingham, Alabama office will begin mailing out the checks tomorrow, and all should be mailed by mid-June. The service said some rebates will come as part of the regular tax refund and others will be separate. The IRS said about 1,800,000 rebate checks eventually will be received by Virginia taxpayers. A Medical College of Virginia Hospital spokesman today said that convicted murderer Leroy Hargrave swallowed perhaps less than 10 tablets in an apparent suicide attempt. The attempt came at Petersburg Circuit Court after Hargrave was convicted Tuesday night of killing an elderly heart patient with an overdose of a heart depressant drug. The MCV spokesman said Hargrave is in satisfactory condition today and will be released tomorrow. Petersburg authorities set a preliminary hearing to determine whether Hargrave should be freed on bond pending an appeal has been postponed. The president of the Norfolk and Western Railway said today that the nation's economy is riding a roller coaster on a sharp business decline that hasn't reached bottom yet. John Fishwick said that he didn't think that there will be any appreciable improvement in the nation's economy this year, but he told stockholders at an annual meeting that he's confident the economy will improve and the railroad's earnings will get better. He said the N&W's earnings for the first quarter this year were down substantially compared with last year, but he said the railroad is still financially strong. Corrections Director Jack Davis said today that state police have begun an investigation of the Department of Corrections Prison Industries system. He said the Corrections Department had requested the probe after certain allegations were made and on the advice of the State Attorney General's office, but Davis refused today to discuss the nature of the allegations or the investigation. He said the probe began last week. Officials say a U.S. Army helicopter was used today to airlift a critically burned man from Fairfax Hospital to the Medical College of Virginia Hospital in Richmond. Police said 32-year-old William Clay of Gainesville was badly burned yesterday in a fire while he worked on an air compressor at a Fairfax County bowling alley. Clay was admitted with what were described as second and third degree burns over 65% of his body. Damage to the bowling alley was estimated at $10,000, mostly in the area of the compressor. Weather for our five-county area calls for partly cloudy through Saturday with lows tonight and Friday night around 50, highs Friday around 70 in the daytime, and 60s in the daytime on Saturday. The chance of rain is 10% tonight, 20% chance of rain tomorrow, and 10% again tomorrow night. Winds from the east at 5 to 15 miles an hour tonight and Friday. Right now, we have 71 degrees. It's still holding at that. Here in Orange, 21.6 degrees Celsius and 46% is the relative humidity. Coming up is a sports check. Our time is 8:36. Coming up now, a sports check brought to you by Arthur E. Sims Agency and Hubert Compton, your agent for Nationwide Insurance, two members of the WJMA Sports Broadcasters Club. The latest in from ballparks in the National League, final scores, Philadelphia 6, St. Louis 2, Pittsburgh 4, New York 2. Those were the afternoon games. And their evening games are just underway between San Francisco and Atlanta. That's a scoreless thing already at the end of the first half inning. And San Diego will be at Cincinnati. They aren't really going at it yet. Another game tonight is in the American League, just getting underway, is Milwaukee at Detroit. The Pittsburgh Pirates and Philadelphia Phillies, as we said, won their afternoon games in Major League Baseball. The National Basketball Association says 18 college players and two from high school have applied for hardship exemptions to make them eligible for the NBA draft. Among the college applicants is Notre Dame All-American Adrian Dantley. The high school players thinking about jumping directly to the pros are Darryl Dawkins of Orlando, Florida, and Bill Willoughby of Englewood, New Jersey. The trial of a lawsuit aimed at knocking out the National Football League's Roselle Rule continued today in a Minneapolis federal court. Read into the record was a deposition claiming that the Miami Dolphins wanted wide receiver Bob Hayes after he played out his option with Dallas, but were afraid Commissioner Pete Roselle might award Dallas their star receiver Paul Warfield as compensation. Defending champion George Burns and national collegiate champion Curtis Strange have moved into the semifinals of the North and South Amateur Golf Tournament in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Advancing with them were 59-year-old Bill Hindman and Peter Green. Burns, who is from Port Washington, New York, scored a 2-1 victory over 18-year-old Mark Tinder of Pebble Beach, California. Strange scored a 2-up victory over Wake Forest teammate Dave Thor. Hindman of Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania, trimmed Bobby Edgerton of Raleigh, North Carolina, 5-4, while Green of Franklin, Michigan, scored a 5-3 victory over Jeff English of Shawnee Village, Kansas. Burns plays Hindman tomorrow, and Strange takes on Green. The winners play 36 holes for the title on Saturday.
The Arthur E. Sims Agency in Orange presents easy ways to save heating dollars and conserve fuel oil. Insulate your attic floor. This alone can produce savings up to 20% on fuel. Be sure hot water, steam pipes, or warm air ducts are well insulated if located near outside walls to minimize heat loss and prevent freezing. And install storm windows and doors for estimated fuel savings of as much as 15 to 20%. Easy ways to save heating dollars courtesy of the Arthur E. Sims Agency.
Bruce Crampton, winner of the Houston Open Golf Classic last week, turned in a 5-under-par 66 to lead the field in the first round of the Byron Nelson Golf Classic. He missed only one green and didn't have a single bogey during the round. Two of the top performers in the golf world, Lee Trevino and Johnny Miller, had complaints about their putting. Trevino, for example, had a 1-over-par 72 in a round that included 36 putts. Miller, the pre-tournament favorite, was in a large group at 68, two strokes behind Crampton. Trevino said his putting today was the worst of his career. Miller thought he could have had a 64 if his putting had been more accurate. Ben Crenshaw, Babe Hiskey, Don Bice, and Bob Smith shared second place with 67s. Defending champion Buddy Allen and Hale Irwin were among those at 69, and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and Arnold Palmer are not competing.
Nationwide Insurance has a special multi-peril package policy with almost every conceivable coverage for your business. The plan can be tailored to fit your needs. It's part of Nationwide's blanket protection for your business or your family.
Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide is on your side.
Your Nationwide agent in Orange is Hubert Compton. Phone 672-3605 or stop by 110 Caroline Street.
A 5-year-old from Argentina, Fazena, was the last out of the starting gate but first across the finish line in the $20,000 feature race at New York's Aqueduct Racetrack today. He finished half a length in front of runner-up Gnome Home. Fazena was ridden by jockey Jacinto Vasquez. The winner covered the mile under 112 pounds in a minute, 36 and a fifth seconds. He paid $7.40, $4.60, and $2.10. Gnome Home returned $1 and $2.10. A dollar? Third place finisher, final suit, paid $2.10. I think that's a typographical, or could it be? I don't know, but I wouldn't have bet on that one. This has been our sports check. And it's been brought to you by two members of the WJMA Sports Broadcasters Club, Arthur E. Sims Agency, and Hubert Compton, your nationwide insurance agent. Keep up with all the good sports on WJMA.
Am I blue? Am I blue? Ain't this tears in these eyes telling you? Am I blue? You'd be too. If each plan with your man done fell through, there was a time I was his only one, but now
birthday. Oh, was she glad to get rid of it. I think I'll give it to her back. Or her front. Am I blue? Is this thing heavy?
Yeah, Barbara Streisand from Funny Lady and Am I Blue. At 15 and a half minutes before 9 o'clock here on the evening show. We have nice weather tonight. We have 71 degrees in Orange. And the WJMA weather for Orange, Nason's, Brightwood, and Gordonsville calls for some cloudy conditions on through to Saturday. The overnight lows will be in the 50s, and the daytime highs tomorrow in the 70s, and on Saturday in the 60s. The winds coming in from the east at 5 to 15. 71 degrees Fahrenheit is our reading right now. And that's 21.6 degrees Celsius, 46% relative humidity. A little touch of Schmielsen in the night.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply. come out soon. Make my poor heart beat warmer, light the way bright as day for my sweet little charmer. She's to meet me in the lane tonight. If the sky is bright and clear, a moon don't keep me waiting here tonight. Watching and awaiting, heart a palpitating, longing for my lady love so dear. Yeah. Lazy moon, lazy moon, why don't you show your face above the hill? Lazy moon, come out soon. You can make me happy. Now when my lady sees your face a-peeping, that's when I know her promise she'll be keeping. Tell me, what's the matter? Are you sleeping?
Lazy Moon. That's Nielsen, not Schmielsen, but it's the name of his album. It's called A Little Touch of Schmielsen in the Night. And we're at 11 and a half before the hour. Next, it's the 50 guitars, count them, 50 guitars of Tommy Garrett. He owns all 50, and it's really hard running up and down the lines doing it. I think he's hired a couple of Boy Scouts to help him out. But anyhow, one piece that he does that I love it, and it's from his album, You're a Lady. This is the main cut. Thank you. And that is a piece from just not too long ago, but within the past couple of years anyhow. You're a Lady. That was when I first started here. That was a biggie going along the way. Olivia Newton-John has a nice one out now. It's from The Other Side of the Mountain, a movie about a young girl, and it's called Richard's Window, and it's such a nice piece. So let's take on the Olivia Newton-John.
Chances are, 'cause I wear a silly grin the moment you come into view. Chances are you think that I'm in love with you. Just because my composure sort of slips the moment that your lips meet mine, chances are you think my heart's your valentine. In the magic of moonlight, when I sigh, hold me close, dear. Chances are you feel you'll always be the one and only one for me. And if you think you could, well, chances are your chances are.
Johnny Mathis, and you know that one. Chances Are. Real nice sound. Well, we're heading right on up to jazz scene time, and to take us there, it's Earl Garner from Feeling Is Believing, and this is called The Look of Love. I'll see you at 10 o'clock with the news. You're tuned to WJMA, AM and FM in Orange, Virginia. WJMA, AM and FM, Orange, Virginia. It's 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time and 62 degrees in Orange, and here's a wrap-up of all the news. World and national, state and sport. The House Judiciary Committee has approved an authorization for emergency refugee programs, and panel chairman Peter Rodino says he hopes to put it into a House vote next Wednesday. Earlier, the Appropriations Subcommittee of the House Foreign Operations Committee chopped President Ford's request for funds to help Indochina refugees. The House panel cut the president's $507 million request to $405 million. Meanwhile, the Senate passed by voice vote and sent to the House a bill to let the president use previously appropriated military aid funds to help Indochina's refugees. The bill was introduced by Republican Mark Hatfield of Oregon. He said it could make as much as $147 million available while Congress debates Ford's request for more than $500 million in refugee aid. The authorization bill approved by the Judiciary Committee contains no money figures. The separate $405 million appropriation is expected to follow the authorization bill to a House vote quickly. Some members of the House Appropriations Group complained during a short public makeup of the refugee aid bill that they have no idea how much money will in fact be needed. They said they probably will have to make another appropriation when the administration knows exactly how many refugees there are and precisely how much programs for them will cost. White House News Secretary Ron Nessen has told reporters that South Vietnamese and Cambodian pilots flew 298 American-made aircraft from their countries before those countries fell to communist-led forces. South Vietnam, meanwhile, began to reestablish contact with the rest of the world today. The revolutionary government held its first news conference in Saigon, and the chief of the Saigon military region, General Tran Van Tra, told reporters that 11 countries have recognized the new regime and that he expects such recognitions to increase shortly. Something new appeared today on the outskirts of the Vietnamese refugee camp at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas. It was a small trailer. In it, a Washington, D.C.-based money exchange company began trading currency and gold. An officer of the firm, Deacon Company, said, "We're not trying to rip off the poor little refugees," he said. "In many cases, they're carrying large amounts of foreign currency and gold, and it's very dangerous." The spokesman said the State Department has approved his and his two assistants' presence at the refugee camp, but he refused to say how much business the company expects or how much money he had brought to the scene. President Ford continued his meetings in Washington today with foreign leaders in an effort to reassure them that the United States will stand by its commitments despite the reverses in Indochina. One of those he met with was Australian Prime Minister Gough Whitlam. He later told reporters that despite Vietnam, non-communist nations still perceive the United States as a reliable ally. Ford also met today with the Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Kuan Yew. A White House spokesman said Ford assured him of Washington's intention to stand by its Asian friends and allies. Meanwhile, Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev was quoted in Moscow as saying that the end of the war in Vietnam could help détente and lead to improved U.S.-Soviet relations. An expert survey took a look at the future and foresees serious problems ahead. It says that the growing accuracy of American and Soviet missiles makes arms control more difficult because conventional explosives now could do the job formerly assigned to nuclear weapons. The authoritative International Institute for Strategic Studies makes the prediction in London. It also says in its World Strategic Survey 1974 that the possibility of a new Arab-Israeli conflict raises the specter of another oil embargo and confrontation between Moscow and Washington, and that it comes amid growing doubts in the U.S. about Soviet motives and American advantages from détente. The survey also has high praise for what it calls the statesmanship of Secretary of State Kissinger, but it sees both strength and weakness in lone wolf diplomacy. The Institute is devoted to the study of warfare, strategy, both political and military, and disarmament. Its staff and membership are international, drawn from 50 nations. It's supported by grants from international trust funds as well as governments and has been consulted in the past by the United States and other governments. The House today rejected a proposal which labor and consumer groups had opposed unanimously, contending that home buyers could be hoodwinked by it. The plan would have allowed savings and loan institutions to offer home buyers a mortgage with interest rates that would rise or fall during the life of the loan. The House voted 291 to 104 to block the so-called variable interest rate plan. This is WJMA Radio News.
If the cost of electricity has been getting you down lately, try a dose of information on WJMA's Monday at 1. This week, we present a debate between John Taylor of the Virginia Electric and Power Company and Taylor Cousins representing the Virginia Consumer Congress. The debate covers such controversial subjects as the fuel adjustment clause and the benefits or liabilities of nuclear power. To get some information on the cost of electricity, tune in WJMA this Monday at 1.
WJMA News Time is 6 minutes after 10. The House Public Works Committee has approved a $5 billion emergency public works program. House Democratic leaders had pushed the legislation as a source of up to 50,000 jobs. The bill would authorize 110% grants to state and local governments. Correction, that is 100% grants to state and local governments for construction and repair of local public facilities. The exact amount of funds available and the timing of their distribution would depend on later appropriation legislation. The Senate has voted 69 to 21 to exclude the federal licensing of radio and television stations from the provisions of a pending bill which would create a consumer advocacy agency, and the stage also was set for a vote Tuesday on cutting off debate and bringing the controversial measure to a final vote. Supporters of the bill expect it to pass, but predict that the real test will come on a vote to override an almost certain presidential veto. There's a stocky 27-year-old Malaysian in Kuala Lumpur who claims to be the fastest beer drinker in the world. He claims that after 4 years of training, he can now guzzle 8 pints in a row in 1 8/10 seconds. We can't tell you how spectacular a feat that is because the Guinness Book of World Records lists no record for beer drinking speed. He's doing it all on his own. We'll have a look at state news in a moment.
Would you like to have your own copy of American Country Countdown as heard each Saturday on WJMA? You can if you send us a card and your card is drawn. Each Saturday at noon, we'll draw a card and give away that Saturday's program. Just send us your name, address, and phone number. If your card is drawn, you'll win the program as broadcast that day. It's in stereo on 3 LPs, and you'll hear all the songs and the priceless comments of Don Bowman. Send us your card so you'll have a chance to win this week's American Country Countdown.
It's 8 minutes after 10. And in our local and state news, a second candidate is now running for the Gordon District seat on the Orange County Board of Supervisors. 43-year-old R.J. Schwartz of Rhodesville declared his candidacy today for the seat currently held by R. Monroe Wall. Bob Schwartz explained why he wants the job.
I think planning and a comprehensive plan will certainly become one of the major issues in this year's elections. I feel what Orange County has to have is an equation or a balance between opening the development gates both for housing and industry and the building of the proverbial fence around the county. With added flexibility, more youthful thinking, and better communication with the citizens, I feel I can be this catalyst for the betterment of all the citizens in Gordon District and Orange County.
Bob Schwartz ran against Monroe Wall and lost in the 1971 election. Schwartz has lived in Orange County for 12 years and operates a cattle feed lot near Rhodesville. He is chairman of the Orange County ASCS Committee and president of the Locust Grove Raritan Club. Schwartz is running as an independent and joins Gilbert Rivenberg of Locust Grove in the race for the Gordon District seat. Delegate D. French Slaughter, Jr. has made his official announcement of candidacy for re-election, as he indicated he would 2 months ago. Slaughter represents the 25th House District, which includes Orange, Madison, Culpeper, and Rappahannock counties. Delegate Slaughter is running for his 10th term in the House, his second as an independent. He was a Democrat until 1973. He defeated a Democratic candidate that year by a margin of more than 6-1. Slaughter states that the steep increases in electric rates are a great hardship on many people, he says he hopes that the government studies underway can lead to some action by the state government, which would be of some help in reducing the cost of electricity. French Slaughter is a resident of Culpeper and a member of the law firm of Button, Slaughter and Yeaman. Orangetown police have arrested two suspects in connection with a burglary last night at P.D. Wall and Company on Bird Street. The burglary was reported shortly before midnight. Town police responded to the call with backup from two Orange County Sheriff's deputies. Orangetown Police Chief Melvin Amos says two young Orange County men have been charged with burglary in the case. He identified one man as 19-year-old John Edward White, who is being held in the Orange County Jail. The other person involved in the case is a juvenile. Town police have also charged the pair with petty larceny in connection with the theft of two bicycles from a residence in Orange last month. Police recovered the two bikes today. Traffic deaths were down in Virginia last year, but the five counties were generally out of step, with the death count rising by more than 50%. According to official 1974 figures released by the Virginia State Police, traffic deaths statewide dropped almost 14% last year compared to 1973 figures. In the five counties, traffic deaths last year were 54% greater. Only Louisa County registered a decrease, with six deaths last year compared to eight the year before. Highway deaths in Orange County soared from only one in 1973 to a total of eight last year. Culpeper County had the highest traffic death rate among the five counties, with almost eight deaths per million miles traveled. There were 11 highway deaths in that county last year. Madison County had five highway fatalities last year, and Greene County four. State Police Superintendent H.W. Burgess has attributed the statewide decrease in highway deaths primarily to the lowered speed limits. No explanation was given for the increased highway death rates in four of the five counties. The issue of mobile homes in Madison County was the prime topic at the county's Planning Commission meeting last night. Here's Bob Barnett with a report.
The planners extensively discussed different facets of mobile homes in Madison, agreeing to seek a warrant against a mobile home owner unless she agrees to seek the required special use permit. The planners decided a test case in court on Madison's code requiring all new mobile homes to be in trailer courts, accepting hardship cases, would help publicize that the county plans to enforce mobile home regulations. Frank Walker also pointed out that some residents are purchasing double-wide trailers that do not meet state building requirements and therefore are not modular homes. These owners cannot locate where they choose in Madison, but must follow zoning regulations for trailers. Extension agent Howard Handorf and Madison planner Doc Cate presented a slideshow of scenic views in Madison taken last month. Pictures will be used to choose scenic overlooks as part of Madison County's master plan. The Joint Board of Supervisors, Board of Zoning Appeals, and Planning Commission public meeting was set for Wednesday, May the 21st. Bob Barnett in Madison reporting WJMA News.
Madison County Supervisor Alvin Lohr says he's running for a second term on the board in this year's general election. Lohr operates a dairy farm in the Rochelle area of Madison County and is one of three supervisors on the Madison board. The county does not elect supervisors from individual districts, but at large. Lohr states that the board must hold down excessive taxes and keep services within reason for what the economy of Madison County can afford. Lohr is the second announced candidate for the Madison Board of Supervisors. Chairman Willie Carpenter announced last month. The Greene County School Board spent 2 hours in closed session last night discussing a discipline case involving a student at William Monroe High School. The board did not reach a decision, however, in the case of 13-year-old Paula Kirtley. The girl and her parents are fighting her impending suspension from the school under its new demerit form of discipline. Accumulation of 10 demerits under the 4-month-old system is supposed to result in automatic suspension of the student. Mr. and Mrs. Paul Kirtley said they don't oppose the demerit system, only the automatic suspension rule. Their daughter accumulated 10 demerits for minor offenses, and they feel suspension is too harsh a punishment. They also say they are worried about the effect of suspension on Paula's scholastic record. Paul Kirtley says that he will take the issue to court if his daughter is suspended. Well, that trip to the mailbox should be a pleasant one for many Virginians sometime next week. The U.S. mail is expected to bring the federal income tax rebate checks to thousands of taxpayers, according to officials of the Internal Revenue Service. The tax rebates coming to Virginians should amount to about $41.5 million, and the IRS said the first rebate checks for Virginia will go in the mail tomorrow at Birmingham, Alabama, and all should be mailed by mid-June. State Corrections Board Chairman Walther Fidler says a state police investigation of Prison Industries has uncovered a $2.7 million inventory error. Fidler told Richmond TV station WWBT today that records covering the 61 to 1973 period indicate that the inventory was listed as $2.7 million higher than it actually was, but Fidler adds that he doesn't believe the money was pocketed. Instead, Fidler says it's likely that the records might have been altered to make the program and its officials appear successful. Suspended Virginia Banking Commissioner Thomas Jones has surrendered to police in Norfolk after being indicted by a special grand jury. The panel is probing the 1973 collapse of Norfolk Savings and Loan Corporation, an uninsured loan firm that folded with close to $12 million of depositors' money involved. Jones, who was indicted on three felony counts in the case, was immediately released this afternoon after posting a $1,000 bond. The state is moving to make it easier for state employees to use the grievance procedure available to them. State Personnel Director John Garber is talking of the plan today, said two changes are being made in an effort to meet employees' criticisms about the system. Garber also said the refined grievance procedure will soon be presented to Governor Mills Godwin, who had asked for refinements in the process to produce the most workable program possible. A 25-year-old Richmond man is to appear before a federal magistrate later today, he was, following his capture by FBI agents in the city earlier today. Special Agent James Decker of the Richmond FBI office said Leland Robert Bartow had been sought by federal authorities on a charge of unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. He said an assistant U.S. attorney filed the complaint after an investigation by Richmond detectives indicated that Bartow had fled Virginia. He was charged with passing a worthless check valued at more than $100. Senator William Scott was the only nay on the floor today when the U.S. Senate approved a resolution welcoming Vietnamese and Cambodian refugees to this country. Scott, on the losing side of a 91-1 vote, said he felt the refugees coming into the U.S. would pose additional economic hardships on those already living here. Besides, Scott added, his mail is running 2-1 against the refugees settling in this country. A hospital spokesman at the Medical College of Virginia says convicted murderer Leroy Hargrave swallowed perhaps fewer than 10 tablets of a drug in an apparent suicide attempt. The incident happened on Tuesday night just after the 21-year-old Hargrave was convicted of murder in the death of an elderly heart patient at the Petersburg General Hospital. Hargrave is in satisfactory condition, and he's going to be released tomorrow. While many economists think the economy is about ready to bottom out or has bottomed out already, John Fishwick doesn't agree. The president of Norfolk and Western Railway said in Roanoke today that the economy is on a roller coaster, riding a sharp decline in business that hasn't reached bottom. And Fishwick added, in these words, "Frankly, I don't know when our economy and our business will turn up, but I am inclined to think there will be no appreciable improvement this year." This is WJMA Radio News.
2 hours of airtime on WJMA are yours each and every Sunday night. We call those 2 hours the people's choice because you choose what gets broadcast. Just call WJMA anytime at 672-1000 and tell the answeree you want to file a request for the people's choice. Or you can send your pick by mail to WJMA, Box 271 in Orange, 22960. What the people choose is what you hear on the People's Choice 6 to 8 Sundays.
Weather for the five counties, partly cloudy through Saturday, the lows tonight and Friday night around 50 degrees, with the highs Friday around 70 and Saturday in the 60s. The chance of rain's 10% tonight, 20% Friday, and 10% again Friday night. Winds from the east at 5 to 15 miles an hour tonight and Friday. Right now it's 62 degrees Fahrenheit, 16.6 degrees Celsius in Orange. The relative humidity is up at 61%. Stay tuned next for sports. Today in Sports is brought to you by two members of the WJMA Sports Broadcasters Club, C. Cosby Clough Incorporated, and Preddy's Funeral Homes of Orange and Gordonsville. Scores in from baseball parks in the National League. Final scores for afternoon games: Philadelphia 6, St. Louis 2, Pittsburgh 4, New York 2. It's at the end of four innings, Atlanta 2, San Francisco nothing, San Diego 1.